And now, two old school guys talking about music and stories about their radio days. It's T-Man and John, the Music Freaks.
Stedlin Hardaway Judkins was born on May 13, 1950. His mother remarried, so his name became Stedlin Morris.
It's not a bot,
but it was
is it?
Berry Gordy of Motown Records who gave the preteen singer the name Little Stevie Wonder.
Woo! That young harmonica.
Hey, harmonica kid.
Yeah.
Genius.
A tribute to Mr. Ellington.
Everybody together.
Thank you. I thought you might chime in with that.
It's one of my favorites, man. I can play that on piano.
But is it... We're going to revisit your misheard for Stevie, aren't we?
We can.
Yeah,
I think we should. In fact, on our audience of ones, I chose that song to be one we played. And I played that exact part.
Awesome.
So we can revisit.
Awesome.
Even though it didn't make my top 10.
Speaking of the audience of one.
Should I cue the singer?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
All right.
It's time to air who is in the chair. It's the audience of one.
A longtime friend, not as long as John and I, but a longtime friend, what, 25, 26 years, I think.
You don't have to date me or anything.
Well, I just did. I think Gary was 10 when
y'all
I met
dated?
Him.
I missed that. Wait a minute. I'm barely listening.
Gary was like 10 when we met, I think. It was a different time.
It was a different time.
Gary was doing part-time promotions at the Big Ape, and we hit it off, and then we actually got Gary on the air for a little while, and his air name was?
MacGyver.
The man could do anything, whether it was duct taped or not. He could do it.
Very good.
And we've done gigs together, and we did a lot of gigs together, actually. If it wasn't for the gigs, I think over the last 26 years, maybe I've seen Gary 8 times, I think.
Oh, wow.
He's that damn busy.
Busy
but
man.
We got him in here today for our audience of one. How are you,
Great
man?
Great to have you, man.
Doing good. No liquor, but that's fine.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I'm about to say, you missed my happy hours at 10. But you had some kind of Zoom meeting, so you missed out.
He did, and then Gary has to go back to work. Tell everybody what you do.
So I actually work with a company that works with the NHL, and we do the scoring system for them for every arena, for outdoor games, and even when they go overseas.
So, like, are you responsible, too, for that ticker that goes across the screen? And
So we interface with the broadcasts also.
Yeah.
To make sure that all the stats that they have are correct.
What a cool gig.
It's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
And it's right here in River City.
It is.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the West Coast games. Then it might not be so fun.
Those aren't fun. Those aren't fun. Getting phone calls at 1 a.m. that we've got an issue is not fun.
I bet.
Great. Troubleshooting in the middle of the night.
Right.
Oh, boy.
and trying to act like I'm awake.
It's like radio.
Yeah, I was awake. You didn't bother me.
Yeah. Gary is a huge fan of Stevie Wonder.
Oh, wonderful.
And so, perfect. Episode 85, it's all about Stevie.
It is.
TManandJohn@gmail.com. Thanks for all the emails. We have some interesting choices for the Stevie songs that we have lined up for today. And Gary's got some good ones, too, that we'll get to here in just a few minutes.
Yes, indeed.
John, you want to do your list? You want me to knock in mine?
I'll do mine.
Go ahead.
I'll do mine. Okay, first, once again, everybody's list is my honorable mention.
Okay.
Because I don't think I was trying to think. You know, we did our Mount Rushmores.
We did.
We did that.
Yeah, we did.
And Stevie was certainly on mine. And I'm trying to think. I don't know if I enjoyed 10 years of somebody's music as much as I did Stevie Wonder in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that's for everybody. That's everybody. And I started listening back and going, man, I think the Beatles probably the only ones that come close to even having the same percentage of songs I love off each album.
Right.
And it was just amazing. And I forgot, and I listened to a couple more and thought, okay, this one's got to make the list now. It's got to make the real list because I just don't like those. I love these songs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so once you get into it, I mean, you could have a list of 86.
I really could. I have a shorter list of songs of his I'm not crazy about.
Yeah.
And that's counting even his later stuff.
Right, right.
So anyway, I really do believe he's one of the true.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be on my Mount Rushmore of all music, period.
Absolutely.
So, definitely. Anyway, we're coming here. I come here from a good place.
Yes.
Number 10, Happier Than the Morning Sun.
Ah.
We go back.
Yeah.
Man. When I went back and listened to these records, and I just remember how much I loved when I first heard them. Oh, yeah. And here's the hardest part. Everybody's going to have long hooks.
Yeah.
I didn't want to stop them.
They're hard to stop. They are hard to stop.
Because the melodies and where it take when he goes the next place. And I'm like, oh, you got to leave that in because that's the next beautiful place of the song.
Right.
Right.
All right. Anyway, number nine. Oh, this one. This is one of those I probably wasn't in my original top 10 that I listened again. I was like, oh, my gosh, I love this song. You know, Stevie Wonder was friends with made friends with Jeff Beck.
Yep.
And he and Beck, in fact, when he did Superstition, that was originally Jeff Beck's.
Yes.
Originally recorded with Jeff Beck and Tim Bogart and whatever. That wasn't one of those bands Jeff Beck had. And it was done as an instrumental. And then they did it and they had the words. And then Motown went, you know, that'll make a good single for you, Stevie. Don't give that one out.
That'll make a good single.
Jeez. I wouldn't mess with that. Keep that one, Steve.
Yeah.
This is just a note. Keep that one. But he did do this one off of Fulfilling This. And he had his buddy Jeff Beck playing on it, too. So this is, ooh. That guitar playing in the background is all Beck. Once again, it's like a 7-minute hook. Sorry.
Well, yeah, it's okay.
Here we go. Yeah. Play it, Jeff.
A 7-minute hook would be called a song.
Yes.
Yes.
He gives him a shout out here.
Do it, Jeff.
Do it, Jeff.
Do it, Jeff.
So that's Jeff Beck with Stevie Wonder.
Good stuff.
Looking for Another Pure Love.
Good stuff.
This one's this is the first album, the first one when he broke out.
Okay.
Where he broke out and did his own thing. He got out of the contract where he had to sing show tunes and things like that.
Right.
And this is his first full My album. And so this is one of the first songs, I think it might be the first song on or second one. Mary wants to be another movie Superwoman.
Star. Yeah. But is that really in her mind? And all the things she wants to be, she needs to leave behind.
Very well.
I haven't heard this in a while. Very well. Yeah.
I love laid back, almost stoned Stevie Wonder.
Well, yeah, almost.
If he wasn't stoned, then it sounded like he missed a good opportunity.
Well, you couldn't tell. He had the glasses on. Come on.
But he was really doing some trippy stuff. I mean, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he was too cool for this place where the Stones took him on tour with him and stuff, you know, because they loved him so much.
Well, yeah. Who don't love Stevie Wonder?
That's why we're here.
Yep.
It's just the musicology, right? Like, you sit there and beyond the words, you're literally just listening to the melody.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Yeah.
I end up doing that, too. And his words, you know, sometimes they can be incredibly perfect. But if not, it's kind of like McCartney, where the words just sound perfect with the music.
Yeah.
Right. Whether the meaning takes you somewhere. And with Stevie's, there usually is more meaning than with Paul. But here we go to number 7. Everybody's got we done heard this the first
we
part.
We done. Don't know
how to Inner Visions.
Yeah.
I couldn't pick my favorite album. I went going back going, no, Inner Visions, no.
Yeah.
Because everything on this album is top notch. I could have picked almost anything off this.
Well, duh.
He's Mr. Know-It-All or Golden Lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Visions, yeah. Too High. Oh, man. All right, once again, there's my 45-second
hook. Yeah,
can't stop them. Sometimes I can play a 4-second hook and go, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Like most of those Def Leppards, I go, yeah, look, there you go.
Well, they're all the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only do so much with the drummer. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
17 vocals.
Yeah. And the same drum beat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait a minute, that's the Spinners.
Well, them too. Although the Spinners kind of programmed it, I think. At least Def Leppard did it live. I love the Spinners. I love Al Green. But when you listen to a lot of their songs, it sounds like the damn thing is just set on one setting and let's do a song around that drum beat.
I kept listening. I listened more to the Spinners again. And I was like, yeah, that guy's playing like a tom, or he's tuned his snare to sound. Yeah, he wanted to have his own sound of it.
Yes, yes.
Because he did.
And used it a lot.
There was poop going.
Yeah, and used it a lot.
And that's the same boy. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. See what I've said this for a long time, and you were sitting there disagreeing
with
me.
Well, no, the difference, now, they're different beats, I'm saying, but yes, he used the same snare sound.
Yeah.
All right. On to this, one of the most beautiful songs. This is off Fulfilling This as well, which is an album I probably bought after all the other ones. Because I think the first album I bought with my own money was Songs in the Key of Life.
Yep.
And then I went backwards and thought, wow, I need. And my sister had Inner Vision, so we had that in the house. But then I went back and bought all the other ones. Yeah. But I skipped fulfilling this for whatever reason. And then I went and got that probably when I was 19. And
was it on sale at Albertsons?
Probably $5.99.
Did you put this on?
We got. Like,
And then, for Stevie Wonder's taste and his eclecticism of everything that he got into, still was signature Stevie, but he would use every different sound. I mean, he used pure jazz, he used bop, he used rock and roll, he used everything, and even a steel guitar.
You bring me up when I've been down.
Sneaky Pete playing steel guitar. It's called Too Shy to Say. It's one of the most beautiful melodies.
And I can go on.
Just listen. I should have brought my own cocktail. I could have just sat here for the rest of the day.
You very well could have.
Just played all these songs.
I know. We could. This could be a long podcast.
Because we're going to play the whole song.
Well, yeah, it's your hook.
Because I didn't want to stop it because he gets to the very end of this.
I know, John.
Because I love you. Is this perfect? Here we go.
I know. Okay. All right. Like that.
And that steel. Oh, my God. Sneaky Pete.
He's
Kleinow.
A sucker for the steel.
Sneaky
John
Pete
is.
Playing that steel in the middle of a Stevie Wonder ballad.
Yeah.
Was just like, how? Once again, you know, you always wonder how people, like even like Kanye, how did he hear that in his head before he produced it?
Yep.
Right.
And you wonder, when did he say, you know what would sound good? Maybe somebody played the steel on this. You know, out of nowhere.
Right.
And it was so.
But it works.
Absolutely perfect.
Yep.
This one I'm going to dedicate to my late mom, who, thank God for her, she loved listening to R&B music. And so we listened a lot, and we listened to a lot of Motown stuff. And in fact, she bought the Motown album, the one that used to sell on TV. 64
yeah.
Motown favorites. Yeah. Get them now.
Yeah.
She got them. I mean, back then that was
like.
But if
you buy now, what do you get with it?
A cap snaffler.
What?
It snaffles caps off lids, jars, and cans, and it really, really works.
And that's what they called it?
A cap snaffler.
Snaffler.
Yeah.
All the good words were taken.
Yes, they were.
Wow.
And so my mom bought this Motown album. I mean, we plunked down like $12, which I thought that was like all
well,
the money
in the
world. Well,
that was a lot then. Yeah.
For 1970, right?
Sure, yeah.
Anyway. So we listened to a lot of Stevie, and she always loved this song. And this is one of them kind of show tune-y kind of songs that, you know, Stevie always had to do back when he was 15.
Right.
But dang. That's my mom's favorite song, I think.
Like
that and Gladys. She loved Gladys.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
And it's that old sound, but man, he made it his too.
He did. Owned it.
He sure did.
Hugs to mom.
Hugs to mom.
Yes.
Hugs to mom.
Yep.
This one, I love it just because I love it, and I can play this part on piano.
So do you love it?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right.
it's one of those I can impress people, but don't ask me to do the whole song. I can impress people and sit down at the piano and play this intro. And then people go, ooh, and I'll go, oh, yeah, that's Stevie Wonder. And I just kind of get up, and they go, oh, go ahead. That's all right. I don't want to hog the music.
I got to grab my beer.
I would. I would, but I got to run.
Yeah.
I got to run, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Knocks me off my feet from Songs in the Key of Life.
This is just another testament to... You can try and build a list all you want.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. I whittled this down from 10 from Songs in the Key of Life. I could have put another star. I could have had As. I could have done Pastime Paradise.
Yep.
There's just so many on every album. You're right.
They're called deep.
Yes.
That's what the albums are deep.
All deep.
Yeah.
All deep.
What number are we up to?
Number three.
Three, okay.
Number three, this one. Is the first one. I kind of went back on this, listening to it again, not more than a year ago, and I'm listening to it and thinking, wait a minute, this is like the first real sweating Stevie Wonder song. Because Stevie in the 60s was always the cool singer, always did. Even the other ones like, la, 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 na, na, na. And then this one, you could feel the sweat on this one. And so I looked it up and I was like, who the heck produced this one? Because it wasn't the dudes that did For Once in My Life.
Right.
And I'm wondering, who produced this? And it was the first one Stevie Wonder produced on his own. And that's when you can hear, oh my gosh, look what we're about to have in the 70s. Because when this came out at the beginning of it, you're like, this is going to be good.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. Like a fool, I went and stayed too long.
And then at the end of it, when the horns are blowing and everybody's singing and it's so perfectly put together.
Yeah.
it's like he never wastes any space or moment in the song, right?
There's, right.
Right, but it was never cluttered. Right.
No.
It was never wasted. And it was it was kind of kitchen sink, but it never got in the way.
It all flowed.
How did he do that?
Well, he knew how to flow.
You listen to songs now and you're like, okay, this chorus is just way too much.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't need to keep repeating this song in the song.
But that's all they got. Right.
That's
all they've got.
Yeah, if they ended the song, it'd be a minute and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of perfect, I think this is the most perfect groove ever. If it wasn't for my number one reason for number one, this would be my number one. Because the intricacies of just his three keyboard parts on this song is just so stupid. And you go, how did you know to do this with this and this with this? And that third one was going to be perfect the way you did it. And you played all the parts except the horns. It's just insane how great this is. And everybody I ask a lot of people this weekend and said, okay, your favorite Stevie Wonder song. And everybody gave this one, all but one.
Really?
All but one person said this one.
Yeah.
Listen to that clavinet.
Yeah.
And listen to the other. There's like three keyboards right there. And they're perfect in lockstep that it sounds like one finger.
Right.
But there's three.
Yeah.
Shh, forget it. Man.
Very superstitious.
It is just the perfect song.
Yep.
Writings on the wall.
And as cliche it is to say superstition, it's still, it's that great of a song.
Yeah.
Yes. It overcomes the cliche.
Yep. Yep. No,
that's how great it is.
Yep.
Number one, we were at the same concert as 1986, and I'm 25 years old at this concert, and as much as my mom loves Stevie Wonder, mm-hmm. she went with me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I took Jill and my mom.
Cool.
And here we are at Stevie Wonder.
And I didn't run into you.
No, because you were running into Stevie backstage.
Well, we'll talk about that. Whatever, we'll talk about
it. I was hanging out with the other people, with the regular Joes.
With the other people.
You know, don't even worry about it. Stevie Wonder didn't see him.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's what I heard.
See?
That's what I heard.
Now, I could have gone there and you would have frowned at me.
But
you did.
But I went there.
Yeah, you did. You did.
He didn't. Never saw it.
But never in my life. I may have teared up at certain songs. When I saw McCartney and he walked on stage, and I went, oh, my gosh. Same thing with Brian Wilson when he walked on stage with California Girls, and I started tearing up, right? So those are my reactions, and I'll give it a big cheer every so often.
Right.
But I've never squealed. I've never given like a high-pitched squeal as if Justin Bieber was walking on stage and I'm 12. He went into this song, and at the concert, I went... I screamed.
Maybe it's a good thing I didn't run into him.
Yeah, you're very happy you didn't sit with me.
Yeah,
I'm also going to need you not to include Justin Bieber.
I can't believe he went there.
Today, I don't think
because nobody squeals at Stevie, but I squealed at Stevie Wonder because I didn't know I had no clue he would do this song. I didn't know, and I don't know if anybody ever knew. But when this song is my favorite song, and the fact I squealed at the concert. And the fact this is James Jamerson's best bass line of anything he's ever played. That's my hill. And it's the greatest bass line ever. This is where I squealed. Ah!
Well, you flowed right in there then.
I did.
It wasn't cluttered.
Stevie hired me. I went on tour the rest of the tour.
There you go. Hit the post.
I was born in Little Rock.
Listen to that bass.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom. We actually share songs, John.
I know we do.
Wow, how about that?
Woo!
I'm impressed.
I'm tired, man.
I bet. Yeah, all that squealing.
That's a ringer.
Like a little schoolgirl.
That's what I did. That's why he's number one.
That's it.
I was made to love her.
Nice list.
Hey, thank you.
Very nice.
All right, Tone Loke.
You know, I'm looking at mine going... I left off Superstition. How the hell did I do that?
Well, I think that was some people's obvious. They went, okay, Superstition, but let me go to the ones I kind of dig and like.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are obvious ones on mine because, you know, I'm a little different than you. I hit more hits than
you
do.
You usually go
deeper than I do, but that's okay.
Right. Like Def Leppard, I wouldn't. I would probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh!
Yeah.
I do the one that has that in it.
Well, great.
Okay.
That narrows it down to 38. Okay.
Oh!
My honorable mentions, I had to throw in the one song, the one amazing song by Stevie that was never released as a single. I never understood how Motown could skip over Isn't She Lovely and not make it a single.
That was one. I mean, that was Songs in the Key of Life for everything.
Everybody played it.
Everybody played it.
Everybody knew it. To this day, they know it. We still play it on the oldie station I'm on, Cool FM. It's like, okay, it's.
And I should. I can't believe I didn't play it because you talked over this song.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. You gave us a shout out. When my daughter was born.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that.
I played it when my niece was born.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
How about that? Come on. I gotta mention As. If I'm not getting that in my top 10, I have to mention it.
Yep. Right.
Have to. And All I Do.
Love that one.
Yep. Gotta throw that in too.
Just think about it.
And I don't, and I just, and this one, I don't know how this didn't get in my top 10 either, but it's one of those bass lines.
Until you hear your top 10, you don't know, but then you go, well,
yeah,
of course you can't.
It's one of those bass lines. I'm like, I just love Light and Flight.
Love Light and
Flight. Oh, man.
Yep.
Man. Oh, man. Goodness wrapped up in one song.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Number 10, it's a wonderful memory for me because I was maybe, I guess, around 16, 17 years old, and my brother was moving away from New York. He was working for Red Lobster. And he actually got promoted, and he was going to, I think this was to a Michigan, what's the, Dearborn? Is it Dearborn? There was a town in Michigan. He was going to be the manager for a Red Lobster. And I remember, like it was yesterday, being in the U-Haul, and we're moving his stuff. I guess, was he married at the time? I think he had just gotten married. And they were in the car behind us. And we're in the truck. And, of course, what am I doing? I'm scanning the AM radio in the U-Haul truck, which is, you know, the quality of...
Of course you are.
Nothing. And this song comes on, and I'm like so digging it. And the weather in Erie, Pennsylvania at the time we're driving through there sucked. Just sucked. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's gray. It's like 20 degrees, 30 degrees, and there's some snow, and the traffic sucks, and the roads conditions are not good. But this song's on the radio, so who cares? Thinking it might stop her from whipping you behind. I place no days. Why did those days ever have to go?
Exactly.
You know? Shitty weather through Erie, Pennsylvania. Why did those days have to go?
That's how great a song is. Think about bad weather and you go, yeah, that's a great song.
On a lousy AM radio in a U-Haul truck.
Oh, that's how good that is.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That and Nathan East.
Yep.
Nathan, on the bass.
On the bass.
Good.
Number 9, just a staple of his. Just
Nathan
a
Watts.
Staple of his.
Yep.
Had to put it in.
Oh,
even though it's number 9, it could have been number 3. It could have been number 5. It could have been any one of them.
It could have been my number 2.
And it could see.
But it didn't make the list. That's how great he is.
Yeah. Well, Superstition didn't make mine.
Exactly.
This song didn't make yours.
I know.
There you go. And if I thought our love was a day, I'd find myself drowning in mountains. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's it. Number 9.
Gosh, I love that song.
Number 8, you going to scream again or squeal again?
Oh,
or
man,
what are you going to do?
Don't put it past me.
Well, you just might. I'm squealing just because it was on your list. It's on my list.
Papa disapproved it. Mama boo hooed it.
Don't let Kim hear that. She might make it a misheard lyric with a boo-hooted.
We'd hate to hear what that is.
Oh, man. Ain't no telling where she'd go with that.
Oh, see, I couldn't stop that one either again.
Ah, number 8. That was, I was made to love her. This next one, It wasn't a big pop hit at all. I think it was a big R&B hit, but oh my God. Every time I hear this, I just turn it up. I don't give a damn who's around. I don't care. I don't care what time of the day it is. This is just one of those grooves of later Stevie Wonder that I just dug from the get-go, and I was like, man, put that in my top 10. It is my number 7. Gotta have you. And I won't feel satisfaction until just where I'm gonna be. I gotta have you. I gotta have you. I gotta have you for me.
Man.
You are a sight for sore eyes to see. I just love that song.
Great synthesized bass.
Yeah. You know, but it's Stevie. He can pull off anything.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Just doesn't matter. Do you have an instrument? Give me a second.
Right. Exactly.
You got a cement mixer? Yeah, bring it on over here. I'll turn it into a melody.
We'll work that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. EQ it just right? Man, that'll work.
He'll put a banjo with it and it'll be perfect.
And speaking of a boogieing,
and synthesized bass.
This is one of those songs you're growing up. Of course, Gary wasn't even thought of yet, but
we're 13.
We're growing up.
We're 13 years old, and this song comes on.
This song comes on, and it's like, damn, this song is good. Mm-hmm. I don't get tired of this song, and still to this day,
I
haven't gotten tired of this song.
Me neither.
My number 6.
Yeah. I like to make love through. You can make me. Stevie on his little synthesized bass. Then playing like barrel house piano under it. What the heck? So Fats Waller shows up to play piano.
Fats.
30 years after he died. Yeah. Man, pretty amazing.
Ah.
Oh, it's amazing.
So we're going back to the 86 show.
Oh, yeah.
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 It was not planned. It was not planned. The record rep, she really surprised me. And I'm hanging there with my first wife. And the show gets over with. And I mean, Stevie is just, he's taken his bows. And Joyce Straws, who I love dearly, I don't know if she's still with us or not. She was working for the record label. And she pulls me out of my seat. I knew Joyce was there. She wasn't that far away, but I didn't expect this to happen. And all of a sudden she goes, come here. And she's pulling me out of the seat. And I'm looking at my ex saying, I don't know what's up. Just wait here. I don't know what's up. I didn't know what to really say, what to do. And the next thing I know, we are in the old Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running. We are backstage. We are running. Now, Joyce is a big woman, but she's ahead of me.
She's booking it.
And I'm like, where the hell are we going? What are you doing? Come on. I mean, it's just like the place is on fire the way she's acting. We get back there, and Stevie did a quick shirt change. I don't think it was the whole wardrobe, but he had some nice silk on and something colorful. And he changes out of that into this flannel shirt. And he's up backstage getting the key to the city. And Joyce is just, I mean, running me in like I'm somebody. And I'm going, all right, well, okay. And we get up there. She butts me up in front of everybody else.
Put you past Jake Godbold, that's how good you were.
Yeah. I mean, Jake. And all of a sudden.
I love the reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
Boogie on Ridgy Woman.
At Ridgy. So I'm meeting Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
And I turn to Joyce and I'm like, no camera? Nobody had a damn camera.
You have the memory.
Oh, man, did I have the memory. But, boy, sure would have been nice to have the camera. Yeah.
In the Coliseum.
In the Coliseum.
Asbestos.
Yeah, exactly. See? And poor acoustics. Exactly. Exactly. But that concert was so good.
Oh,
the album
gosh.
In Square Circle was so good.
Yep.
We played the hell and back out of Part-Time Lover on the radio.
Didn't we, though?
But this was the follow-up single, and it's my number 5. But I can say, girl, you go home.
And then those horns come in.
Yeah, man.
Go home.
Geez, goosebumps.
Yeah.
Goosebumps. right now.
Mm-hmm.
Peaked at number 10 on the pop chart right after Part-Time Lover. Of course, that was a number one. Yeah.
Ugh. I was doing mornings by then, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four.
This would have been my number two call.
Dude.
It just as easily could be my number two.
Dude.
And didn't make my list.
One of those songs they had to edit down from 7.5 minutes to get it on the radio to be 3.5 or something like that.
And you miss the whole point of the...
You miss it. Yeah, you really do.
You miss the whole... I mean, if you can play the whole American Pie, you could play all 7 minutes of
well,
this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I do on TMR, that's for sure.
You dang right.
Because we're living, baby.
You miss the whole bus trip. For
living.
New York City, just like I picked.
His mother goes to scrub the floors for me. And you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city.
So this is another one of those. I'm like, man, why didn't this make my list? I love this.
See?
It's just too many.
It's
the hook
too many.
Here, the hook on this.
Yeah.
Yep. It was like a McCartney song.
Yeah.
Like seven hooks before you get to the vocal.
And I'm sitting here going down the whole list. Thank you, Billboard magazine and the book.
Yeah.
Looking at all these songs, especially the ones in the 70s. Grammy Hall of Fame. Grammy Hall of Fame.
Oh, he was the Grammy machine
R&B
back then.
Song,
they loved it.
Grammy R&R Hall of Fame. Pop male vocal. I mean, just down the list.
Yeah. Grammys love Stevie. Listen to this. Listen to this. I mean, how just a little effect he put on that song.
Yeah.
Just to make it sound like, because it was like a bad dream.
Yeah.
The whole song, it just seems like it's out of kilter.
Yeah.
And he wanted it that way. Listen to what he did with the keyboards.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's like, it's fading in and out.
Right.
And it's like, it's not sharp. It's a big, big ass blur.
Yeah.
And I just think stuff like that he did, because it made this song sound so desperate.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the song itself, everything. And then he added that, some kind of washing those freaking keyboards to make it sound that way.
Yep.
Just one more feather in the old cap.
Man, and there were a lot of feathers in that cap.
It's like a freaking headdress.
A lot of them. My number three kind of goes along with the trip, Moving My Brother.
Yes, indeed. Because as soon as I Wish went away, this one became huge.
I Wish is falling on the charts. This thing is zooming up faster than you can blink.
Zooming,
and it's that tribute to Mr. Ellington.
You can tell right away. Start to move. They can feel it all over.
And that was back in the day where DJs absolutely hated the cold endings. Hated them. It's like, oh shit, my pants are down. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
Go. Play it, Nathan.
That's it.
Da-da-da-da-da. Nathan Watts. Bass player.
Just ends, and the DJ's like, oh, right. Dead air.
I stopped it, too. I edited it so it would be a cold-end outro.
That's it.
And you hear, like, out of nowhere, Y-103!
That's it. You're running toward the microphone. Yeah. Your headphones aren't even on
that's
yet.
That's why it was breathless.
Yes.
Half off the mic.
The headphones are laying over there, and you're scrambling. Just scrambling.
Y-103!
Yeah.
As we're going through another beautiful day, 77 degrees in sunshine.
Oh, coming up as the next cart.
Yeah, if I can find
it. You're grabbing something off the...
If I can find it.
You're spinning the whole cart rack.
Plastic clicking.
Yeah.
You're trying to find the right one.
And you're just grabbing one just to slam it in, hit the pot up, and hit go.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, man, the old days. The old days. When you started as MacGyver, everything was on the computer at that point, wasn't it?
Everything was on the computer. We had carts, right?
We had the CD carts, didn't we?
That's right, the CD carts for emergencies.
Right.
And
yes,
that was it. I think I used it once.
Yeah, see? So Gary has no idea what we're talking about. We're spinning cart racks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Those were the days, man.
Sure was.
Some of them had the big ones that were wired or the steel or whatever they were made out of.
Yes, yes. We had wood. Ours was wood.
A lot of them were wood because at that point.
We had it at, when I first got here in 89, we had just a big fat wall full of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they had those, I think it was Y-103. We had several of those lined up. I mean, when you walked in, there's like four big cart trees.
It looked really nice. It was a nice setup at
Y-103. It did, but it was a pain in the ass trying to really, you know, when you were at that last second moment, you're spinning shit around and you're going, oh my God, here it is. What am I playing next? I don't know. And you pop in some bad car ad or something. Yeah, I mean, Number two, another one we share.
Yes.
This would have been my number one if it wasn't for my number one.
And
it's so close to being at the top of the damn thing. It's that Stevie
it's
sound.
It's sweating Stevie.
It's sweating stuff.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. Boom, 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 boom. I'm wondering if your love's still strong.
Ooh, ooh, baby. Baby.
You know who didn't do a bad version of this? Frampton.
He didn't do it. Was okay.
He didn't do a bad version.
No, it was all right.
It could have been a lot more. It could have been worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to say it out loud.
Because it was on the same album as I'm in You. Yeah. On the I'm in You album, actually.
Ugh.
Yeah.
One of those songs.
And once again, when you have to tell her, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in You.
Yeah. Okay. The that was one of those songs like Seasons in the Sun. I couldn't get past the dun dun dun. Fast enough.
And you were gone.
I'm punching.
Because there's a great guitar solo toward the end of that song.
That's the only redeeming part of that song.
It really is. I mean, never was a big fan.
Oh, my God.
How do you follow up one of the greatest live albums ever? You busted upon the scene and became the pop culture zeitgeist, and then you start with, I don't care.
You go to crap in the studio
where
is what you
I
do.
Go.
You go from the live stage, that whole vibe,
yeah.
And then you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Just stop it. Even and then Sergeant Pepper. Oh, my God.
Oh,
oh my God. Could you make a worse career change?
That was a tough one.
Or, oh, my. Oh.
Yeah,
or
career move.
Career move.
Career suicide
yeah,
there.
Not really changed, but it changed all right.
And
he went from being a pop smash to that.
Whatever happened to.
Yeah, exactly.
When you know a bad movie is, once again, when the Bee Gees kick Aerosmith's ass.
Right.
In the physical fight.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, number one. My all-time fave, Stevie Wonder. Just my all-time fave. A groove that won't quit.
This would be in my top 10.
A groove that won't quit. But it wasn't, though.
I know.
See?
That's what I'm saying. It's easily number two again. Once again, this is another one that could have been two.
But without question, mm-hmm. when I knew we were doing this episode, it was a no-brainer. Just a slam dunk no-brainer for me.
Yeah, it's the way we do it. Same thing with those keyboards, man. He's got like four of them working, and it sounds like just one finger.
Yeah.
Perfection.
Yeah.
I think what's crazy is you can sit down and start listening to Stevie, and you're just kind of just in your moment, right? Like, this
yeah.
feels
yeah.
good. And then next yep. thing you know, you're out of your seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. It's that abrupt.
Yeah.
So, no doubt.
So true.
And yes.
What a great list.
We will be hearing about Higher Ground later in the show.
Oh.
We will be. That'll be a part of, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Gary, what's
okay.
up?
Oh, and once again, I'm sorry, before we go there,
yeah.
Another great cover, Chili Peppers.
Chili Peppers did a good job with that.
And Flea played the living crap out of that
yeesh.
Bass.
Yes.
Thumping. Yeah. I learned that part, you know, and that was about as far as I got. I got the first four bars and it went,
right.
Okay, I'll consider myself learning that song.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep that up for a whole song.
No.
Playing the crap out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. I know Gary had a hard time coming up with his. You did mention a few others, too, that I even suggested you just say as honorable mentions.
So we've gone through most of them, right? So I'm not going to recap them because I don't want to just waste time on that. But it's everything he's done is just so amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I put a list of six together because I would have continued past 10.
I'd still be making my list if we could.
Exactly. Right.
I mean, before I made my list, I made my list and then I went back and started listening to songs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm not going to change this list. I'm not going to change it.
But you very easily could have.
But very easily, just interchangeable.
Yeah.
So I'm starting off at number six. Now, we haven't had this song. I was surprised.
Did you want your honorable mentions? Did you want to throw
you
those
say
in?
Whatever you'd like.
No.
Okay.
We're going to let them go.
All
going to let them go.
Oh, just like that. They're out the door.
Out into the ether.
They're gone.
Okay.
We're good.
All right.
But Master Blaster.
Yeah. See, that could have been on mine easily.
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 I mean, no question.
Bump, bump.
That's what I should have had 5A and 5B, 6A and 6B.
Right. Well, you
that's
could.
How I could have gotten through with it.
Yeah.
And I would have been ABC, and it had been like one of those when you make outlines, ABC 1, ABC 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah.
So.
Good one.
Okay, here we go. Here it is.
Okay.
And Gary, now that you have brought that up. This one, we first did Misheard Lyrics. I was just dating my wife. We had just started dating.
I wondered if he would go here.
I just started dating my wife.
Yeah.
And I'm the music guy.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, oh, yeah, you just know everything about music. I'm like, well, and I'm Barney Fifing around her. Yeah, well, I know a little bit about music.
Yeah, and then she learned right away.
And then she learned real quick when this song was on. And probably on the cassette that I owned and wore the crap out of it. And so it's coming on, and then it's this line.
It's our third in July.
Okay, so there you go. You know, we're singing it, and everybody's feeling pretty. And I'm like... It's our Persian delight. And she looks at me and is like, what? I said, Persian delight? She goes, I thought he was saying hotter than July.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, yeah, that's the name of the album. Yeah. Probably was.
Music guy.
Yeah, music. Mr. Yeah. Music guy.
Yeah.
She found out I was a fraud real quick like.
And she's still with him.
And she's still with
there
me 42 years later. So, yeah.
Though the world's full of problems.
What a groove.
Yes.
I mean, again, he's so versatile.
Very.
Yeah, but
very.
Then he just does reggae. He just doesn't sing about a reggae woman. He actually does a reggae song.
Right. Yeah.
And makes it sound as authentic as if Pete Tosh was doing it.
Yep.
Man, incredible.
Now, see, I would have thought at that point, if he did Pass the Dutchie, that would have been a bigger hit.
Oh, it would have been huge.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's Stevie Wonder.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, just put a stamp on it.
For crying out loud, Stevie did Ebony and Ivory, and it was number one for 8 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. I was gonna talk about that later on. Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
Because I didn't put that on my list. Yeah. It's funny. I thought about it, and I was like, oh.
You are black, and I am white. Remember that on Saturday Night Live?
Joe Piscopo, actually. We had Joe Piscopo on one day.
Yeah.
He came in, and we were doing it live. And he was talking about it, and he was like, I said, oh, yeah, and you're Sinatra. And he starts doing it. He starts singing, you are black and I am white. And I broke into my Stevie and went, I'm as blind as a bat and you have sight. And he finished it up. We got done. He was like, you are freaking on, brother. You are freaking on. I thought I was going to leave somebody hanging, but you got it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
So, you know, I said I wasn't going to do any honorable mentions, but since we did Ebony and Ivory, I thought about That's What Friends Are For.
Oh, did you?
I did.
The harmonica is perfect.
Yeah,
it's perfection.
I know. You know, when you think about it, I mean, it is Stevie, it's Dion, it's Gladys, it's Elton.
Yes.
But it was also Cheese.
But I loved it. It was great.
There was a hint of cheese in there.
Yes.
And that was one we played every 2 hours.
Oh my God.
And we all got tired of it.
Wore the label off of
it. I heard it again for the first time in I guess 40 years.
But it's
I really smiled the whole way through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did.
That's a great one, Gary.
It's just that versatile, right?
Yeah.
We're upbeat, we're going, and then here we go. This kind of mellow.
Another studio thing where they were like, you have 10 minutes, we need to make a video. That was it.
Oh, yes. Right.
For that one.
Those were my favorite videos.
Another one like that.
Y'all just stand there.
It doesn't matter. The song's a worldwide smash. Just do it.
Yeah. We just
lip sync it horribly if you want. Just do it.
Right. Right.
So, my next one, we've already done this. Sir Duke, it's just great.
Yes.
It's just great. I mean,
yeah.
You can't not enjoy it.
I know.
No, you cannot. It's great. You can't not enjoy it.
Right.
You don't even know who's singing it. You don't have to.
Doesn't matter.
No, no matter.
And if you don't, then that's crazy because you should hear the voice. But
it's one of the great good time songs ever as far as a song that just brings joy.
Yep. Yes. So, number four. So, it's funny you talked about when your daughter was born. My daughter was born. I a year later for our anniversary. My wife's anniversary. I put together just a little collage snippet of pictures and things. And so when we got to that moment of here's our new daughter, that was what was playing. Isn't she lovely?
Yeah, that's neat.
That's cool.
Neat.
It's
talk about joy.
It's too good.
See, Gary, when he was single, I was really concerned he had no heart. But then he got into relationships, and now he's a daddy and all this stuff. Yeah, he does have a heart. He's all right.
It changes you.
It does.
Oh, yeah, man.
It changes you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I still say things, and my daughter tries to repeat me, and luckily the other kids are like, whoa, no. And I'm trying to scream loudly so people around us can't hear what's going on. But, yes, I've changed a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
That's great.
So number three. So number three is his first hit. This is great.
Yep.
This is great.
Everybody say yeah.
I love the backstory behind it of him buying this harmonica and Berry Gordy originally didn't want him to use it. Yeah. Like, no. And he decides that, yes, he's going to use it. They decide that they want to record this live as he does it. And then he goes into this second part. So it's Fingertips part two.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody say yep. yeah.
Yeah.
His first hit, 3 weeks, number one.
Incredible.
What did Berry Gordy know? No harmonica. What?
Well, he's the same thing. He didn't think Marvin Gaye should have done the greatest album, one of the greatest albums ever.
Yeah.
What's going on? He thought, that's trash. That's trash. Yeah, nobody's going to buy that.
Yeah.
Where's the show tune, Marvin? Yes. Where's the show tune?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, on Fingertips, who's the drummer?
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
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 And the best part about it is I was reading about this a while ago, and they were talking about how they were already in the middle of changing the set. And so they said when he comes back and he starts again, you can hear it in the background. The bassist says, what key? What key?
Right?
So he can hop back into the music.
He had to get back in.
Yeah. Wow.
Love it.
So, number two, signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah. See? Yeah, it's
the sweaty that, greatness.
Just, oh, man.
Yeah. The sweaty
that song
greatness
still
song.
Today, after how many years? Still has a freshness to it.
55, yeah.
It still has a freshness to it.
It does.
Once it starts, just the minute it comes in, you know.
It's almost like you're catching it now.
And see, that could have been a great song to use in a post office ad, but they couldn't fulfill it. I mean, really, signed, sealed, delivered? You're not sure anymore.
Right.
You're just not sure. But that would have been a great post office song.
Yeah, didn't somebody use it?
I thought they did for a minute.
Somebody's using signed, sealed, delivered. It might be like FedEx or something.
Well, because they can do it.
Right. Someone who can afford it.
They can back it up and back it up. That's it. They can pay their royalties.
Exactly.
And so my number one, and, you know, when I put this list together, first I was like, man, am I putting this in order of my favorite? Am I putting it in order of musicality? Am I putting it in order of feeling? It was just so hard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But being in my lifetime and understanding the backstory to this song and then realizing that there's that part of history with it that was in my time, right, that I honestly did not recognize at the time.
Yeah.
Right,
you recognize it later.
Of course.
And that was
so how old were you in that when the birthday when
this it, was happy so, birthday was 86 was it?
Yeah, that well that was when they was first and because the song came out 81. The
song came out early.
But the song it was on Hotter Than July.
Yeah.
Right.
But then so the first first observance of the birthday was 86.
Right.
So how old were you then?
86, I was 6.
Okay, yeah, way too young to get it.
Yeah.
So
way too young to get it.
Love the song. I always loved the song.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, as I grow up and I'm like, oh, I love Stevie Wonder. I love all these things. You start looking back and you're like, oh, there's the real significance just kind of the celebration of that that fight for that whole
another time. Song from the Motown folks they didn't release as a single.
Oh, exactly.
Didn't do it. But everybody's heard it. Everybody knows it.
Happy birthday.
It's freaking Stevie Wonder.
It is.
Yep.
Good list, Gary.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, man. Nice.
Yeah. And good stories.
I love the stories. That makes it even better.
It does.
I got to it. I got a friend that has a story. I talked to him this morning at about 9 o'clock, and he was calling for other reasons, but I asked him, I said, you got to have a favorite Stevie Wonder song. And this is John Rich from Big and Rich.
You know, name Rich? Dropper.
No, I'm just saying this is right here. And we were talking about other things, and I was like, "You got to have a." I'm doing a podcast. We do a podcast, and we got to. I need a favorite Stevie Wonder song. So it was like right off the cuff. He went.
I think Superstitious is probably a standard in every cover band in country music, and always has been. And I actually got to meet Stevie Wonder when I was recording a record on Jewel.
Oh, wow.
The artist Jewel. Oh, yeah. She said, you want to meet Stevie Wonder? I went, yes, I do. And he played a concert in Nashville. She took me backstage to meet him. And I've actually got that picture hanging up here at the house of me and Jewel and Stevie Wonder. He's just incredible.
Oh, that's way cool. There you go.
Cool story.
So awesome. Yeah, so John Rich chimes in with Superstition.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
Gee Whiz, our guy. Our guy, Gary.
Down the hall.
Yeah, our guy, our Gary.
One of the guys, actually, that still works in this building. He does have an office.
Yes, he does.
I've seen him do it.
And he's here on, you know, four
he's
out
on
of
the
five
air.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. I he's an actual radio guy. It's it's nice to see in the building. There isn't a whole lot of activity going on in here anymore, and it's good to see that.
He chose As.
Yeah.
As his favorite.
Yeah.
So that's his favorite.
There you go.
So we got that one. I got Robert. I got Roberts. I'm going to remember those before I forget those that aren't on the email.
As we're diving into the freak mails.
Yeah, we are into freak mail now. We are. That was a freak. This is a freak text.
Oh, he's texting now.
The other one was the freak call.
Ah, geez, you're all over it.
Well,
Mr. Media.
We handle everything.
Wow, you
we're
do,
like
man.
We're like FedEx now.
Well, you can deliver. So there you go.
Robert had everything we've talked about so far. His number six was Zerduk.
Yeah.
A number. This guy's 23. Is he 23? I always forget how old he is.
Yeah, he's 23 going on like 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as his musical taste.
Right. At number five, I wish. Number four, Don't You Worry About a Thing.
Yeah.
Number three, Higher Ground.
Yes.
Number two, there we go again.
Wow.
Showing up.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's what I'm saying.
I wonder if he screams like a little girl when
he
that comes on.
He just might.
He might. I don't know.
And his number one is You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Thank you, Robert.
Earlier we were talking about Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah.
The most weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in the 80s. Ebony and Ivory ranks at number six because it was at number one for 7 weeks.
It was 7 weeks, so a Physical would have been up there?
Physical's number one at 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else would have gone longer? In the 80s? It wasn't anything late 80s that dominated like that, was there?
Well, yeah.
What else was it?
You had Betty Davis Eyes at nine. It was non-consecutive because
Oh, yeah.
It popped
before.
Out and then went back in again. Endless Love, the original.
Okay, this is all pre. Yeah, this is all pre that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That was 9 weeks at number one.
Yeah.
Every Breath You Take was 8 weeks.
Okay, that was a good one.
I Love Rock and Roll was 7 weeks.
Yep, and all of them before.
And then Ebony and Ivory was 7 weeks.
Except for.
Billie Jean was 7 weeks.
Except for Every Breath You Take and then and Billie Jean.
Yeah.
The rest of them were all early 80s stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of dominated.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so, we got some more.
So before you go there, real fast, since we talked about Robert being young, and here I am, I'm not young anymore. I was young then.
Now, wait. So, you're not old, for God's sakes.
So, Fingertips. One of the reasons why Fingertips is on this list is my dad was big into music, and we had tons of 8-tracks and the record players, and we had that huge box that had the TV and the record player.
All together.
It. Yeah, and so one of my first... And I just basically say it's mine because I took it for myself.
Yeah.
Was the 45 of Fingertips.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And every Sunday, anytime I could get that stupid top piece lifted up, right? That's,
that's the hardest part.
Wood, that is the hardest part.
That was the hardest part.
That was me.
Heavy wood and terrible shocks.
Right?
You couldn't get the damn thing open. Yeah, because they didn't have springs. I mean, they were shocks.
Yes.
Yeah, like hydraulics.
They were. And it was hell trying to get it open.
Eventually, it was just a wood stick, right? That you just sit in.
Yeah, that too. Got to prop it open.
That's great.
Memories.
Yeah. Like the corners of my mind. All right, where do we want to go? I'm here for the taking. Oh, well, let's go ahead and go, Paul. Oh, did Paul? No, he went first.
No, actually, wait a sec. Hold on. I'm about to tell you who was first. Who was first?
Katie? No, Paul got through.
Yep, Paul was first. Yeah.
Okay.
He was quick on the draw because he had heard on the last podcast we were giving him hell because he wasn't first last time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he was, that's what he said.
As he was listening, he was already getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
His honorable mentions, Uptight, Everything's All Right.
Another one of those great sweaty tunes.
I Was Made to Love Her.
Oh.
Screaming on that.
Ah.
And Higher Ground.
Yeah.
There you go.
He gets our number ones.
His six-pack, Superwoman.
Ah.
We didn't mention that, did we?
That was a mine. That was in my top ten.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's right. Yeah, yeah. My bad. See, the mind. Superwoman. It's a terrible thing. Living for the City at 5.
Yes, indeed.
Overjoyed at 4.
Oh, love that song.
If You Really Love Me, Won't You Tell Me.
Love that song.
Number 3.
See, once again, it's everybody else's.
It is. My Shetty Amore.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2.
Yeah.
And his number 1.
What happened?
That Yester thing.
The world we knew
crazy. It, many other artists, we're talking about this list, and it's debatable.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course it is.
Your list doesn't have to be the same as mine. And I'm like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
That is so true.
Thank you, Mr. Borscher.
Paul, always great. Thank always. You, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank
yep.
you.
Katie got through.
I get Katie. Which one do I have? I got the top one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She has these in no particular order.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, it's signed, sealed, delivered.
Uh-huh.
I was made to love her.
Oh, amazing how that made it in.
And this one.
Yeah. That's the sound. That's the old Motown sound.
Yes.
Syncopated.
Oh, God, yeah.
Benny Benjamin on the drum.
Yeah. And to the point, even with a song like this, being a little overmodulated, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's just kind of rough.
Broken
in parts.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of in the studio, but it's mm-hmm. like a garage studio. Is
it
what
is.
It sounds
yes.
like.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I like that. That's a nice analogy.
Thank you. Our buddy. Over at Channel 12, Lou Turner, now the chief meteorologist with Tim Deegan retiring.
We call him the chief.
He's the chief.
Chief.
And what did you say Lou said to you?
I texted him when I found out that he was chief meteorologist. I was like, congratulations.
Yeah.
Well deserved. And he texts back, what have I gotten myself into? As only Lou Turner can deflect.
Of course.
As only he can deflect some kind of
yes.
congratulations.
Yes.
Great guy.
We had him on one of our podcasts earlier.
Former audience of One Me.
Yeah. We had a ball with him.
And he's really that great of a guy.
We did weather songs.
Yeah.
So okay. he really got into that.
It was fun.
But his line about Thunderstruck was just hilarious.
Yeah, major pet peeve with Thunderstruck.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Very good. But he's got a wonderful list, too.
Yeah.
And I've got...
Which one do you have?
Number two.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
Yeah.
His number six, Gary. Hey, it's Master Blaster.
Hey, good job.
All I Do at Five.
Oh, that was one of your honorables.
It was. Mm-hmm. Part-time Lovey, he wrote. Yeah, I know you meant to put Lover, but he wrote Lovey.
And that was Luther singing in the background.
Yes.
On that. The beebity 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 boo.
His number three, the Yester song, Me,
yeah.
You, and Day. His number two.
Here's one of my 30 favorite songs off Songs in the Key of Love.
Did it have 30 songs?
No. There's only like 21 songs, but I think it's my top 30.
Yeah.
That's how great they are.
Yeah.
I had to listen to them, a few of them, three times.
Yep.
As around the sun, the earth no ceases revolving.
Oh.
And the rosebuds know the bloom in early May. Just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always.
Man, oh man.
Yep. Now, this song is one of those songs that we can sit here and slam program directors. Because back in the day in 1977 when that came out, they didn't know what the hell to do with it.
Too long.
Yeah, it went to 36 on pop radio. Now, this is Stevie Wonder you're playing. He's already been number one
Stevie
with
Wonder,
You're the Sunshine, Superstition, You Haven't Done Nothing, I Wish, Sir Duke, and you can't even play as... What the hell is wrong with you?
Did they not edit it to 3:30 or something?
Because it doesn't matter. That song, edit, long version, it doesn't matter. You should play the damn thing.
I agree.
But I will give kudos to one person who's no longer with us, a actual, at the time, pop star, that thought that song, he said that song to him was the perfect song. David Cassidy said that.
Really?
About ads.
Good David Cassidy.
He did.
Nice take, Dave.
Yeah, he did. He said that is the perfect song.
Very nice.
Yeah. And Lou's number one, not too shabby either.
No, it's not.
I Was Made to Love Her.
It makes mine, yes. too.
Da, 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 da.
Me and you, Chief. Me and you, baby.
That's it. Thank you, Chief.
And congratulations again, Lou.
Exactly. Tommy P, his six-pack.
A nice one.
In no particular order. Which one would you have?
Which one did I end up getting? Which one did I end up... Oh, number five.
Okay, let me go over his honorable mentions, too.
Yeah.
Ribbon in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yester Me, Yester You, Yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Uptight.
Everything All Right.
And A Place in the Sun.
I like A Place in the Sun. Nice one.
Yeah, nice
one. Undercooked one there.
I Very. Like that one. Undercooked.
Yeah.
well, since we have no particular order, but you have as number five, we'll just do... I'll start from the top and go down.
All right.
Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Uh-huh.
You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
A good one.
For once in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I just called to say I love you. I think he's the first one to put that in there.
He is. Yes. And that's another one of those songs 40 years later sounds so much better than it did in 1984.
It did.
Yeah.
You're right. And he's number five on his list. Yeah. No in particular order.
This one. Over me?
Yeah.
And then you listen to that second verse and it sounds totally different. With
yeah, it does.
It has a whole different thing behind it, a whole different background. It's amazing.
And he included this one, which I know nobody else did, I don't think. And I honestly, I don't know that I remember this song.
I don't either, and I forgot to look it up.
But it went to 12 in 1967. I'm wondering.
And it's funny because I had like the Looking Back album, which is a triple album of '60s stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember that one.
I don't either. We'll have to look that one up.
We're doing it now.
Okay.
We're doing it right now. This
so
is
I knew I knew by doing that he would find it.
You got me.
Don't you know I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering.
Wow. It's got the Stevie sound. There's no doubt to it.
Yeah.
This is a great testament to artists doing albums that you can listen to from front to back.
Yep.
Like, just don't have that anymore.
No.
If they didn't release it as a single, don't bother listening
exactly.
to it.
You don't need a full length anymore. Just, yeah.
I mean, you got James Jamerson playing bass, so really. You can tell that's Jamerson playing, too.
Yeah.
That's not Bob Babbitt. That's Jamerson.
Yep.
That's beautiful. And... You know, and Berry Gordy used to do that. He always made it the albums because it was just singles, you know, because they were a singles company.
Yeah.
Motown was.
Yep.
Oh, but when he made these albums, he always would say he wants something else for the rest of the family.
Yeah.
That's why he loved them doing show tunes and
these
supper club songs and all this different kind of stuff. He liked the variety. Yep. And Stevie could just, he tore up every one of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like the Temptations, like walk through a few of them. And Diana Ross even slept walk through a few of them. But Stevie, he sang Hello Young Lovers from The King and I just as much as he sang Uptight. Right. He sang it with as much conviction.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That song, I'm Wondering, was sandwiched in between I Was Made the Lover and Shooby-Doo.
Oh. Shooby-Dooby-Dooby-Doo-Da-Day.
Yep.
Nice.
I did not remember I'm Wondering.
Tommy, thank you.
Thank you for that
thank
memory.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yep. You stumped the band on that one.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if you were trying to, but you did.
I couldn't have named that in 28 notes. I couldn't have done it.
No, even when I heard it, I just don't remember.
I know.
I don't know if it was on Looking Back, and if it was, it just slipped past.
Well, again, it peaked at 12.
Yeah.
But probably the stations we were listening to ignored it.
Probably.
Or played it in lunar rotation, meaning they would only do it late at night,
right?
Overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll spike it here. And nobody hears it.
Yeah.
So that's why we didn't remember it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's funny the success that Stevie Wonder has had, especially with Motown, because the rumor was that having to deal with little Stevie Wonder actually made Berry Gordy think twice about the Jackson 5. He didn't know if he wanted to deal with some
kids. Yeah, gee. Kind of glad he went that way, I bet. Number one, number one, number one, number one, number two, number one.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, and that whole string of number ones of the Jackson 5, I think Mama's Pearl was the only one that made it to two and didn't make number one.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was another one. If you were to put all the Jackson 5 songs in a clump, I bet you the one that is least familiar, even to today, is Mama's Pearl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To today.
It was really, I mean, the other ones had their own distinctive sound. That one never had a distinctive sound, but I loved it too.
Yeah.
But it sounded just like the Love You Save meets I Want You Back.
I Want You Back. Right.
So it really was more of a, let's try this one. And it worked too.
Yep.
I always love that.
Yep. Bill's got his list.
Hey, Bill.
And of course, he says, greetings. Even Stevie Wonder can see this is the best podcast around.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Once again, Bill, sufficiently sucking up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, I know.
No, we accept it. We appreciate it.
I still can't get over the Lenny and Squiggy line, though.
Hard to overcome that one,
really,
Bill.
That one just, I'm sorry. I still have the scar from that one.
Yeah.
That just dug too deep. It just did.
Yeah, he could have called us the Romano daughters from One Day at a Time.
I'd have been better off with that. I would have taken Julie or Valerie. Yeah. I'd have, yeah. Oh, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat over that. Jeez, what number you have?
Laverne or Shirley? Gomer or Goober.
Lenny and Squiggy, for God's sakes.
I got number one.
All right. Overjoyed at six. A We Are the World spotting.
Look
at five.
Out. There comes a time.
How That's about great. That? Or a sighting.
My favorite part. My favorite part of that was when he was having to teach Bob Dylan how to sound like Bob Dylan.
Well,
I was going to say, if you haven't seen The Greatest Night in Pop,
I have yet to see it.
And,
yeah,
and heard the story about Stevie.
Yeah,
they
you got to listen.
The old one. Did they show the clip of it? Because there was a making of back in 1986 that came out.
Yeah. Yep.
And they showed Stevie. Bob's going. Yeah, we're trying to, and he's just trying to be Bob Dylan's new voice, and he's like, "No, you got to do it like you used to sing it. We're trying to change the world, you and me."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Lionel is kind of narrating this whole story,
okay.
Right, Lionel Richie, and he's talking about how he had talked to Stevie Wonder early and about the plans. Well, Stevie never came back around. So as they're organizing all of this for the night of, and he gets them there, Stevie's like, "Why didn't you tell me? We could have helped out." And he was like, "Stevie, we had this conversation, and I never saw you again."
Wow.
But then they talked about trying to get all those artists together, and like I said, like Bob Dylan and his voice, and that when they would take breaks, Stevie would be over there playing and just kind of setting everything up for everybody.
Yeah. So.
That's cool, and too bad Prince left, but Dan Aykroyd took his place, and that was the best part of We Are the World. Thank God Dan Aykroyd and all the Pointer Sisters were there.
Yeah, so
I'm just very happy about that.
Or Cindy Lauper saying she wasn't going to go because it wasn't going to be a hit.
Well, when Huey Lewis walked in there, he had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
He said, "I didn't know what direction to go in. I didn't know what line I was going to say until they actually just threw it at me."
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Superstition, number four on Bill's list. Go Home, number three. Jungle Fever at two.
Nice one, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his number one, not one of my faves, but I get it.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Dun, 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 dun. It's one I'd play at the club, like, early.
Yes. Yes. You tap your foot to it.
Yeah. While you sipping on your beer waiting for the butt or push it to come up.
For the 800th time.
Yes, indeed.
Woo, yeah.
And the butt.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Coach Matt. He's got a list.
What's up, Coach?
Yep.
I got one. Oh, okay.
He really like put a number next to number one.
Right.
So I don't know if we should just throw the others
just
in there.
Go through it. Let's roll.
All right.
I'll play one of them.
I'll go from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, there it is. There's Ebony.
How about
and Ivory.
That?
All right.
Yeah, 7 weeks. Number
Forgot
one.
About that one.
For Once in My Life.
Yay.
Part-Time Lover.
Uh-huh.
My Sherry Amor.
Man, oh man.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm.
Just rhyming all those words with a more.
Yes.
In a door.
That itself is impressive. Signed, sealed, delivered.
I'm yours.
And his number one, Superstition.
Rick Beato broke down Superstition, and that's one of the best, what makes the song greats is Rick Beato doing that. Because he has the broken down parts.
Yeah.
And you're listening to it.
Yeah.
And that's where I got that whole thing about the clavier and all that other stuff.
How he
made all three of those sound like one.
Right, right.
That was just, that's the greatest groove ever.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
Do you have any more?
Do I? No, I guess not.
Hey, well, I guess we
got
to get
Do we
rapid.
Have any more? We got John Rich.
John Rich.
Gary, yeah. Robert.
Yeah.
John, Tony.
I think we got
Matt,
everybody.
Bill.
Yeah.
Katie, Paul, Lou, and Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we got everybody.
Thank you for all of the freak mails.
Exactly. TMANandJohn@gmail.com. Get ready. We'll tell you what the next episode is going to be all about, but we have some other business here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to set it on fire, don't we?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
What is she hearing
about? Oh, on fire.
Yeah.
No, we're doing this first.
On fire. No, we can't do this first.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's time.
No.
For rapid
there you
fire.
Go.
All right.
That's it. John's favorite segment.
It yeah, usually it is.
Especially when I do top 10 or not.
Oh, yeah, see, because I hate those.
He hates these.
I quit looking at the chart in like 1980.
Did you ever look at the charts? I think I was the one always telling you what was on the charts.
You're right.
Because
I care. I hate them. I hate the charts.
These are all top 10 or not.
Oh, crap.
And there happen to be Stevie Wonder songs.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
All right, John, here we go.
All right.
All right. A Place in the Sun.
Get it over with. No.
Wrong. Don't you worry about a thing.
I hate this. No.
Correct. I ain't going to stand for it.
Yes.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Do I do?
No.
Right. Go home.
No.
Yeah.
You gave that away earlier.
I gave it away and you still got it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
As soon as I said that, I thought, hey, wait a minute. You said it did.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah, that went to 10.
Oh, too funny.
Do I do went to 13. I ain't going to stand for it. Number 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't you worry about a thing was 16 and a place in the sun was 9. I know
how much I care.
I know. So now I'm really going to get killed with his probably because I did top 10 or not.
It's time for rapid fire.
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
You asked for it.
Yeah. See, you got it. Toyota.
What Alan Parsons album bases their lyrics from Poe stories?
iRobot.
Nope. Isaac Asimov.
Okay.
Name one writer mentioned in Rod Stewart's Every Picture Tells a Story.
Oh, we did. Didn't you give me this already?
Did I?
I don't know. I didn't know it then. I don't know it now.
I couldn't remember if I gave you those.
It doesn't matter. I still don't know it.
I didn't erase them. Did I get to this
I know the song, but I don't know what the hell. I don't know who it is.
I couldn't quote you no blank, blank, or blank. Because it's all been said before. That's the line.
Okay, good.
Couldn't quote you no. I'm glad you know it, John.
Yeah, good. Thanks for reading that. Next.
You can't quote that either.
Jeez. Wow. Oh, there's the buzzer. Oh, damn. Oh, that buzzer couldn't have hit at a better time.
What? Okay, one more. What real person's mentioned in Uptown Funk?
Come on, Gary, help me.
What real person is mentioned in Uptown Funk?
Hold on, I'm only 30 seconds in. I got to keep going.
Yeah, see, exactly.
All right, Gary, here we go.
I'm only on the intro. I mean, so that's, I know.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, man.
The master beats.
You're killing me.
Yeah, I know.
You deserved it for your top 10s.
Exactly.
Gary, so I didn't mean to inflict this on you.
No, it's fine. You
and
should know this.
I really mean both of y'all should know this.
You're younger than me. You should know this.
You know what? If we were just casually talking, we probably
you would know it.
You would. It is. It's under the gun stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's under the gun stuff. I'm going to actually play the song, and I'm going to get probably 2 seconds into the intro, and you're going to go.
Whoever made the jar of Skippy, I don't know.
All right.
There we go. Okay.
You ain't got it yet?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, Michelle Pfeiffer.
It. Thank you. Thank you.
I knew as soon as you heard the song, it would get
yes.
Man, when you're doing these gigs.
Where did Go
for
Home
people,
go to?
10.
Number 10. Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never heard
when, you're doing these gigs, you know the song, and you're like, at that point, I need a drink. You're not hearing the lyrics.
Nope.
Yeah.
You forget the lyrics.
Greatest part is I'm singing it in my head. I'm past Michelle Pfeiffer.
You are already way past it because it's something else. Second line.
Because at that point, you're walking to get a drink. You're at the bar, and you're like, okay, what do I have, 2 minutes left? That's what you're thinking about.
Exactly.
How much longer do I have?
You got the
That's
countdown,
what you're thinking about.
The countdown clock in your head.
That's what you're thinking
Can
about.
Can I get to the bathroom also before I have to mix this?
Right. So, exactly.
This is great. Last week, I'm on a cruise, and we're sitting here, and I'm listening to the DJ, and he's cutting in and out of songs, doing a pretty good job. Then they do Cha-Cha Slide, and I'm like, all right, this is getting really long.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this. And then I look up, and I'm like, he's not behind the booth.
No.
He's got 5 minutes. He ran to the restroom. This guy has clearly gone to the restroom.
Yes.
And we're just waiting on him.
Yes.
So I'm just going to keep going left to right until he decides that he's ready to come back.
Yep.
That's great. I love that.
That's what it boils down to.
Right.
That is
what songs can you use to go relieve yourself?
Right.
What? Yeah. I mean, you actually figure out what to play around it.
Yes.
So you've got it cued
you
and
got
ready
your mix
to go.
Ready. Your next song's
you're
ready to go.
You're ready to go, yeah. And then you're taking off for a minute, and it's like, okay, I got a break.
So as soon as you got through, boom, 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 you were like, I'm going.
Yeah.
So you didn't even get to the Michelle
How can I get out of in the club and in the PYT?
There you go. There you go.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. What is she hearing now?
It's Kim's misheard lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Now, she had no idea what my list was when I put it together
okay.
for this podcast. Okay. And then she comes up with this song for her misheard lyric.
Crazy. Okay.
And it just happens to be my number one song.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Kim, here comes Higher Ground.
I'm so darn glad he let me try.
Give it a little intro. Here comes the line, right?
Right here.
I'm so glad that I know more than I knew then.
That's it. I'm so glad that I know more than I knew then.
Yes. Okay.
That's the line.
Kim didn't hear it that way.
Kim doesn't hear shit. She hears, well, that's what she hears, is other stuff.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Kim's lyric is, yeah.
I'm so glad that I combed my hair back then.
So the song's about reincarnation and grooming.
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You got to have the right comb.
Which, I got to say, if you've seen Stevie Hairline lately, he was glad that he combed his hair back then.
Yeah.
It's way back then.
It's way back.
He had hair to comb.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like his music, it's way back.
It's like, what's his name on the show The Irrational? He was on Law & Order for years. Who am I thinking of? I can remember his character name on Law & Order.
Michelle Pfeiffer?
No. Ed Green. He went by, that's what was his name? What is his name on the damn show?
The way you're doing your hair, I'm thinking of Ed Grimley. So I don't
But his hairline is all the way back like Stevie's.
Oh, gotcha. James Brown from the football.
Yes.
Yeah, him too. Yes.
James Brown got some serious recede going on.
Yeah. He could almost sell ad space on his forehead.
Right, that's an ebtide.
He almost could. Yeah.
Indeed. Oh, you know the guys who were mentioned? So I won't ever ask this question again. Just in case I do, you'll know it. One writer mentioned in every picture tells a story, the three of them, Dickens, Shelley, and Keats.
Let's see.
All right, there you go.
All right, mental note.
Now I'm done. Mental note.
Mental
Go home, went to number 10.
Yeah.
And Dickens, Shelley, and Keats.
All right. Or Kelly and Sheets, or however you
want
to
put it. Oh, the old morning show, Kelly and Sheets.
Exactly. Oh, see, man, there you go.
I love them.
Now you got it.
They were really, really
man. Are we done? Wow. That was quick.
It was fast.
Thanks for all your freaky mails.
Yes, tmanandjohn@gmail.com. Get ready for episode 86.
Gary, thank you, man. That was a blast.
It's been a blast.
That was a good time, man. See, I'm so glad you finally came.
You were the master blaster.
You finally came. Maybe you can come back for our 100th episode.
You know,
we'll be doing that later this year.
Is that this year?
Yeah.
I know my record, I probably won't make it.
I know.
It'll be a year and a half.
Gary will say, let's go do coffee.
It's November. He'll be doing hockey crawls by then.
Well, and he'll say, let's go do coffee. And by that time, the coffee shop will be closed.
Right.
Because it stayed there for 50 years. But when Gary wants to go, it won't be open. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But no, next episode, hey, it's that time of year. We're all getting ready to go to the beach, aren't we?
Yeah. Is that the
opening of the beaches is at the end of the month?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a guy coming in for our audience of one that definitely knows about the beach. So whatever songs.
He knows about Righteous Waves.
He knows about beach songs and surf songs and wave songs and all that stuff. Send us your favorites, tmanandjohn@gmail.com.
Beach or surf or whatever.
Yeah. And our audience of one will definitely help us with that because the episode of one guest will soon be retired.
Yes.
And you know who this is.
If you live in Jacksonville or have lived in Jacksonville the past 40 years.
Yeah, you know who
this
is.
You know this guy.
Yeah. So that'll be our next episode.
Our second biggest star next to Gary.
I guess.
Next to Gary, of course. He'll be number two.
Yeah. Gary's high on that pedestal.
Don't put that on that guy. He's much better.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, your hair's better. I'll tell you that much.
We'll see how good of a job he does on the show. You did a great job on the show.
The back half doesn't look so well.
No, the back half looks like hell. But we'll talk about that, too, in the next episode.
There's not a back half right now, but we've got some. It's all right.
About to say, at least he's got a back half.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still looking for mine.
Yeah, well.
What the hell happened with that?
It was there. I know.
When I was 20.
Well, so was mine. And then somebody suggested I curl it, and I was like, what the hell am I thinking?
Look, that
perm shit back in the 80s and 90s.
You know, LeBron's making it cool for all of us.
That's true.
There you go. Nice sports analogy right there. Goes right in with the job he does.
Perfect.
So there you go.
All right.
Thanks, Gary.
It's fun.
I appreciate it.
Enjoyed
being
it.
Jealous.